Would you open up with me this morning to the book of Ruth? Today in our overview of the Old Testament, we have the book of Ruth. As we consider God works in His creation to redeem His people for His glory, we find here Ruth, which is a story that paints a perfect picture of redemption by God's grace through faith. We learn right off the bat that this is a book that occurs in the time of the judges. Now, to date, the book of Ruth is difficult other than that, to wonder, did it happen early on in the judges, at the end, after the judges, and all of that is a little bit difficult. But if you notice with me, chapter 1, verse 1 of the book of Ruth here, we see at least that it occurred during the time of the judges. Now, when it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. Now, already there we begin to learn about the cast of this story. Not only did it happen during the time of the judges, which we studied last week, but we find here a man named Elimelech and his wife Naomi. Notice verse 2. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. So the sons are Mahlon and Chilion, and then we learn that their wives are Orpah and Ruth. Notice verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And we're later going to be introduced to a man named Boaz, once the story takes us back to Bethlehem, who is a very important person in the story of Ruth. If you remember in our study of Judges, you know that this is a dark time in the history of the world. But we find here, between Judges, sort of the falling of God's people, and then Samuel, which is the beginning of the build-up of God's kingdom, we find here the book of Ruth, this story of redemption, an oasis, a bright spot in the middle of all of this darkness. The story in and of itself is enjoyable to read and to come to know, but we must consider, why is it in here? What is it for? This and only one other book of the Bible is named after a lady. This is the only book of the Bible that is named after someone who was not a Jew. So this is a very unique story, a very unique writing. One thing we can consider is that Ruth is from Moab, and the rest of the cast in this story, besides Orpah, who goes away very quickly, are Jews. So this is a story of racial tolerance, and perhaps that is a reason it is in the Bible. Then we have the aspect of family responsibility found in this story, and certainly that is a good reason for it to be included in the canon of the Bible. We also have the call of individual faithfulness in a time of great immorality, the time of the judges, and we find Ruth, and then Naomi returns to, and then Boaz, each individually being faithful to their God. We also see here the showing of great godly influence of godly women to the world. But I think we should never forget, while all of that is good and helpful, those things are good for our ethics and our morals and even our spirituality to an extent, such things are rarely the main point in these Old Testament passages. God didn't give us this book to make us better by ourselves. God has given us this book. God has given us the entire Bible that we might come to know more of Him. And in doing so, we find out how bad we truly are up against God's goodness. You know, I could look around at you guys and think, I'm a pretty good guy. And you can do the same for me. But man, the more I learn about God, the more I realize that I need a Redeemer. The more I realize that I need Jesus Christ, God's Son, to save me from me. And I think that's what the book of Ruth primarily teaches us. So in the midst of all the rest, we have here a great story of redemption. I want us to begin this morning by quickly just coming to know the story, and then we'll finish with the outline that I've provided for you that teaches us of redemption by God's grace through faith alone. Let's pray together, and then we'll begin. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the book of Ruth. What a bright spot it is right here in the middle of the Old Testament. What a bright spot it is right in the middle of our beginning of a new year together. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin in chapter number 1. We've already read the first 5 verses to see that Naomi and her family have left Bethlehem during a time of famine. They've traveled to Moab that they might find something to eat. We pick up in verse number 6, and we see that after the death of her husbands and her sons, the famine is over in Bethlehem, so Naomi is going to return home. Notice Ruth 1, verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her 2 daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her 2 daughters-in-law, Go, return each of you, each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And the Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted their voice, and they wept. So she's sending them away so that she can return to her own people. But we find here that Ruth refuses, and she's going to go back with Naomi to Israel. Now be clear what you're seeing here in this passage. Ruth grew up in Moab, not Israel, a pagan land. Those who do not worship Almighty God, she was not familiar with their God, Israel's God. And here's Naomi, not just from Israel, but from Bethlehem, Judah. You know, I mean, right smack dab in the middle. Pretty sure that's how they say it in Hebrew. And she is going to go back there. And Ruth is saying, I'm going to go with you. I mean, that'd be like growing up in some wild foreign place like, you know, southern Canada or something, you know, and moving to New York City. No, I mean, you're from a completely different culture, a completely different religious system, a completely different people. But something happens and you say, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to go with you. Let's notice Ruth in verse 10. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. Skip ahead to verse 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Then skip to verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking to her. So Naomi realizes there's no use talking to Ruth. She's going with me. Nevertheless, and some of you are looking at me cross-eyed right now. You're like, why did you skip the 2 best verses? We're going to get back to the 2 best verses, okay? Verse 19, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? She said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara. What does Mara mean? Bitter. Bitterness. For the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home empty, again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Chapter 2, we find them home in Bethlehem. Ruth and Naomi are still without anyone to provide for them. Naomi's husband has died. Ruth's husband, Naomi's son, has died. So they have no immediate kinsmen. There's no immediate family there for them. So they are just sort of left to themselves. So to survive, we read initially here in chapter 2, that Ruth is going to go to the field of her kinsmen, which would have been a custom of the day. The kinsman is Boaz, and she's going to pick up grain from the barley harvest that was left over by the reapers. You know how that goes. You know, you're going in there and you're reaping and you get most everything, but there's always a little bit left. Some of you around here cut and bale hay, and I love to watch it. It's unique to watch. No matter how great the machinery is that you're using or how careful you are, there's always a little bit of that hay left over, and the birds and whoever else appreciates it very, very much. And this is the same idea that we find here. Notice chapter 2, verse 1. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, Go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now we find, as we continue in chapter number 2, that Boaz questions, who is this? He kind of asks the reapers, his workers, what is she doing? You know, he's taking a liking to Ruth, I guess initially through her looks. He says because he appreciates that she's caring for her mother-in-law, Naomi, even though her husband, Naomi's son, has passed away. Let's read that together. Verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. When I was in elementary school, I would start liking a girl. And when we'd have movie day, Friday afternoons, we'd go to the library, and we would watch Reading Rainbow. Can I get a witness? Yeah. Take a look. It's in a book. Reading Rainbow. And they would explain a book to you a little bit, enough that you wanted to go check it out from the library and read that book. But my favorite part, I'm real tell on myself here, I always had a girlfriend or three. And we would have to sit crisscross applesauce, which is a modern way of sitting Indian style. But Indian style became something you weren't supposed to say anymore, I guess. So you said crisscross applesauce. That meant you crossed your legs and you put your hands in your lap and you sat person to person in rows in the library in front of the TV on the push cart. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The big box TV that weighed more than the cart itself, and had it flipped over, it would have killed two or three of us children. But this is how we did things, and it was very high, really high up here. They'd push the cart in the library, and you'd sit down on the carpet there, and I'd always say to Martha, that was my girlfriend in second grade, I'd say, you sit right here by me, and she'd say, okay. And we'd sit there, and when the lights would go off, my hand would sneak off to the side, and we'd hold hands. And we liked each other a whole lot. But every Friday, I would say, do you sit right here by me? This is what Boaz is doing here. He's saying to Ruth, don't go to other fields. He said, you come to my field. Now, he had family reasons for that. I'm your family. We're kin. You don't need to go other places. You can come right here. But he also had his own reasons for that. He liked her. He liked what she was doing. He liked why she was doing that. When I first fell in love with Shanae, definitely liked how pretty she was. But I found out really quickly about Shanae that she had a heart to serve God. And you guys have found that out about Shanae as well, more so than me. If you were recalling pastor and y'all believed in women preachers, you could call her and come out better is what I was going to say there. But I said, I like her because she likes the same things that I like. And she's about the same things I am. And I think this is where Boaz found himself. He realized the necessity of doing the right things and doing good things and taking care of your family. And he really liked that, what he saw in Ruth, even though she was not from Israel. See, that's a unique thing here in this story. Notice verse 9. So he says, let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, now I played that game too. Did you guys play that game? She is my girlfriend. You better leave her alone or you're going to get a knuckle sandwich, right? That's what he said. I charge the young man to leave you alone. And when you're thirsty, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Isn't that great? Very good words there. So Boaz begins to show kindness to Ruth. Then in chapter number 3, Naomi decides it's upon her to help find a husband for Ruth. Amen, ladies? Look at verse 1. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said unto her, my daughter, shall I not seek rest for thee, that it may be well with thee? And you can imagine how this goes. Naomi's staying wherever they're living every day. Ruth is getting up and she's going out at whatever point of the day that she does this, maybe in the evenings after the reapers, and Ruth's working hard so that they might have something, you know, either to cash in what she takes or to turn it into food to eat. And Naomi, every time Ruth comes home, she's touched because this is just her daughter-in-law. This is not somebody who's blood kin, you know. And she's keeping Ruth from going on to find her a husband back in Moab where her people are. And so she thinks, well, I need to find rest for you, meaning I need to find someone who'll do this for you so that you don't have to do it for yourself. It's a very sweet thing that Naomi says here. So she begins to talk to Ruth on how to approach Boaz. Now, if you're not careful when you read this, you almost kind of get like this soap opera going on here. Ruth and Naomi are conniving behind the scenes, and they're going to trick Boaz. That's not what's happening here. Naomi is explaining to Ruth the customs of their people, their time, their day. This is how it's done. This is what you need to go and do. Ruth wouldn't have known this. She wasn't from there. She didn't understand. So notice verse 2. "And now, is not Boaz our kindred, with whose maidens thou wast? Behold, he winnoweth barley tonight in the threshing floor. Wash thyself, therefore, and anoint thee, and put thy raiment upon thee, and get thee down to the floor. But make not thyself known unto the man until he shall have done eating and drinking. And it shall be, when he lieth down, that thou shalt mark the place where he shall lie, and thou shalt go in and uncover his feet, and lay thee down. He will tell thee what thou shalt do." Now the men, especially someone like Boaz, who was sort of over his portion of this, would have stayed at the threshing floor overnight. It was not a place to sleep. It was a place to work. It would be like a mill in today's world. But they stayed there to protect their crop, their harvest. You stayed with it so that no one stole it, so that no one destroyed it, that animals couldn't get to it. So this is where Naomi is sending Ruth down to. Like, when he finishes his work down there tonight, and he's had something to eat, and he's had something to drink, he's going to lay down there. You know, you can just see him. He's baled up all his hay, and he's going to lay down on the hay there and take a sleep till the morning, till he can do something with the rest of it. He said, when that happens, that's when you go to talk. Wait till he's done. Wait till he's rested, and you go talk to him. Verse 5. "And she said unto her, All that thou sayest unto me will I do. And she went down unto the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn. And she came softly and uncovered his feet and laid her down." Let's stop reading there for now. Boaz is favorable to what Naomi has instructed Ruth to bring before Boaz. But he tells her that there is a nearer kinsman than him to redeem her family. So he is not only taking a liking to Ruth, he's not only taking care of Ruth and Naomi in a roundabout kind of way, but he's also a man of integrity who says here, "I'd like to do what you're asking of me." And what she's asking him to do is, "Will you take me to be your wife, and in doing so, take the inheritance of my husband's land and his father's land before him, before they left Bethlehem, Judah?" And Boaz says, I'd be happy to do this. And I can see the looks on our faces. This is the girls proposing to the boy. But be sure here, it's more of a business transaction right here than it is something romantic. Now, there's definitely a romantic touch to this book, and you'll see that towards the end. But right here at this point, he's working hard and she's working hard. They're in survival mode. You know, she's not asking for a big diamond ring. She's saying, just don't leave me homeless. You know, that's what's happening right here. So in the morning, he's going to go down, and he's going to go before the men of the city, their kinsmen, and he's going to see about things. Let's look at verse 10. "And he said, Blessed be thou, the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, neither poor, whether poor or rich." Well, that's a thing to say, isn't it? Boaz must have been a lot older than Ruth. And he kind of figured himself out of the picture in this regard. But he said, you flattered me, right? "And now, my daughter, fear not. I will do to thee all that thou requirest. For all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman. Howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee, as the Lord liveth. Lie down until morning." And I can imagine Ruth laid there all night thinking, "Lord, don't let that guy. I'd rather be with Boaz. I like him. I've come to know him. I don't want someone else to go in this place." In chapter number 4, Boaz does do what he said. He goes before the city leaders. He goes before their kinsmen. And he arranges to marry Ruth and to redeem Elimelech's family inheritance. Notice chapter 4, verse 1. "Then went Boaz up to the gate, and he sat him down there. And behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. unto whom he said, Ho, such a one, turn aside, sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, Sit you down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi, that has come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, saying, Buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know, for there is none to redeem it beside thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. So he's given him first right of refusal here. Ruth has offered it on behalf of Naomi to Boaz, this portion of the inherited land. And Boaz has gone to the one who has the first right of refusal, and he says, if you want it, you need to buy it, because if you don't, then I'm going to. And he says initially, I will buy it, I will redeem it. Verse 5, then said Boaz, what day thou buyest, you know, it's kind of now the rest of the story, and what day thou buyest the field of the land of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Now, to help you understand that, there is a law that we learn about in the book of Deuteronomy, where if you have a brother, he passes away, you take his wife and her children, if she has any, or you give her children if she doesn't have any, that the brother's name may carry on and his inherited land may stay in the family. But in doing so, your brother's children become just like your own children. So he says here, I'd like to have the land, but I'm not going to marry Ruth, because if I marry Ruth and she has children, then her children and my children will receive the same inheritance, and then I'll mar what I've promised to my children. So he says, this is not something that I want to do. And he was right to refuse that. It wasn't like Elimelech was his brother, right? Or that Elimelech's sons were his brothers. Now, had they been, they would not have had a biblical right, according to the law of God, to make this refusal. Everybody here is operating just out of grace, out of goodness. They're just being kind to Naomi and Ruth. So, verse 7, now this was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Can you imagine that? To go buy a car, you had to give the guy your shoe? You'd be driving, but you'd be driving with one shoe, I guess. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe, and Boaz said to the elders and all the people, you are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. So he redeems Ruth, her husband's name, her husband's land, her father-in-law, and her mother-in-law, all together here. Verse 13, they're married and have a son. So Boaz took Ruth, she was his wife, and when he went down into her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And their son, verse 17, becomes the grandfather of King David. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Who came from the seed of David? Jesus. Boy, isn't that unique? There's one big problem here, though. All this came from great-grandma Ruth. This wonderful Jewish girl? No, she's from Moab. She's a Gentile. Well, what we learn in this story, go back to chapter 1 with me. We're going to quickly go back through this again. I was waiting on it. Oh, brother. We learn from this story. It's a story of redemption by God's grace through faith alone. Grace, God's unmerited favor. Let me show it to you quickly in this story. All the way back in chapter 1, verse 1, we see God's grace even in the famine. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. Do you guys ever have something come up in your life and you think to yourself, why am I going through this? Can imagine this is the mentality in Israel. We're your people, we're in your land. They weren't doing what God had said, but nevertheless, here we stand. Why are there not plenty to eat? This is supposed to be a land flowing with? Yeah, not a place of dryness and no bread. This is the house of bread, not the house of no bread. This is Bethlehem in Judah. Now, certainly it was best for Elimelech to keep his family in Israel because this is where God had sent them and intended them to be. But through the famine and through their travel, God still gets glory in God's grace as seen. This one girl from Moab, who was not of the house of Jacob, finds out about Almighty God. Gracious God allowed even the famine to be used for His good. Naomi looks back on that famine and says, it took everything that I had. Ruth looks back on that famine and says, everything I had came from it. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? A testament of God's grace. Look at verse 14. Or I'm sorry, go to chapter 2. I didn't tell you to go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 in verse number 2 and also in verse number 10, we see that Ruth is shown the grace of God through a man named Boaz. She finds a place of service among people that are not her own in a place that is not her home. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Notice verse 10. And she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? Now notice verse number 14 here in chapter number 2. In verse number 14, Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Do you see Boaz being gracious to her? Not only is she allowed to reap in his fields, but he has her to come eat at his table. She's hungry. They're desolate. They were left with nothing in Bethlehem, so they traveled to Moab, where they were left with less than nothing. They went back to Bethlehem, and here they are with less than nothing, and they begin to find a place to serve, and they find a table to sit at, and something to eat at that table. Verse 15, and when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. Now, where is she supposed to glean? Out where they've already reaped. What's supposed to happen to the sheaves? Those are going to the storehouse. That's the goods. And he said, I don't know if she didn't know what she was doing. Evidently she didn't. But he said, just let her do whatever she wants to do. You ever been in love like that? I don't care what she does. She's cute and she's smart and she's beautiful. And I'm going to marry her someday. So just let her do what she wants to do. Verse 16, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her, and leave them, that she may glean them and rebuke her not. You know, Naomi's sitting at home every night, and Ruth comes back and says, boy, the reapers have gone to pots around here since we were back. Can't believe you're coming up with this much left over. What they didn't know is Boaz was saying, you make sure there's plenty left over so they've got enough to live off of. Boy, isn't that gracious? Doesn't that show us the graciousness of God even in our own situations? Verse 20, Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near kin of us, one of our next kinsmen. We see God's grace just in Ruth coming to know a man like Boaz. Then in chapter 3, verse number 11, God's grace is seen in Boaz being favorable to Naomi and Ruth's request. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. Now, this is not financially beneficial to Boaz. I think I've made that point to you already. If he had other descendants, if he had those who would also take up his inheritance, this would mar that. Isn't that what the other Redeemer said? So it's not a financially beneficial deal, but nevertheless, he says, you're good, and because you're good, I'm going to do this for you. Chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, we find that it is not only by God's grace that it comes to be. It costs Boaz more than he otherwise would pay. And Ruth is not a choice bride for him because she is not of the house of Jacob. She's not an Israelite. She's not Jewish. She's from Moab. You know how that goes. It's one of those that Boaz's mother and one of his aunts look at him and say, you're going to marry her? Anybody married up like that? Don't raise your hand. And I thought to advertise to thee, saying, buy it before the inhabitants, before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. If thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it beside thee. And I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must also buy it of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar mine own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. Look at chapter 3, verse number 15. Also he said, bring the veil that thou hast upon thee and hold it. And when she held it, he measured 6 measures of barley and laid it on her. She went into the city, and when she came to her mother-in-law, she said, who art thou, my daughter? And she told her all that the man had done unto her. And she said, these 6 measures of barley gave he me, for he said to me, go not empty to thy mother-in-law. Now, in verse number 9, she had asked Boaz for security. She had said, spread your skirt over me. Be security for me and my mother-in-law. Take us into your house. Let us live off of your riches. Take care of us. Then he tells her, I would, but I can't because there's a nearer kinsman than me. But he doesn't send her home empty-handed. Do you see the grace of God in what he does there? He says, hold out your apron. And she holds out her apron, and he measures 6 measures of barley and sends her home. And when she gets home, she shows it to Naomi, who had sent her the night before down to ask him this favor. And she comes home, and she doesn't come home and say, he did it or he's going to do it. She said, he's going to try. But in the meantime, he's given us a little something to hold us over. He's given us a dowry. He's given us some earnest. He has shown us that he means to do what he said. Boy, isn't that wonderful imagery? God had promised his people a redeemer. And in the meantime, he sends them Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Joshua. They're not good enough. He sends them the judges. That won't get the job done, but it's a temporary holdover. He sends them King David and Solomon. But eventually there comes King Jesus. Wasn't that a wonderful thing? The Redeemer is coming. Redemption is nigh. But until then, don't go home empty-handed. You're going to have the law. You're going to have me leading you, the cloud and the fire. God's always with his people. Can you see God in all of this? God is holy and we are not. One will come to redeem us. But until then, here is a holdover. Here is something to let Naomi know that we've talked and I intend to intervene on your behalf. Then in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing to confirm all things. A man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor. And this was a testimony of in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. Now up to this point it was all talk. Boaz could have backed out. I mean, he told Ruth, I'll go see about this, but he could have said, things didn't go well, Ruth, and you're going to have to figure something else out. He goes to the nearer redeemer. Boaz is still not on the hook for this deal. But when it comes down to the redeemer saying, buy it for you, he's either got to take off his shoe and give it to him or not. What does he do? He takes off his shoe. Wow. When Jesus stepped out of glory, became a baby in a manger. The very God of heaven was taking off his shoe and he was handing it as a token of our redemption. Up to that point, it was all talk, wasn't it? I'm going to send a redeemer. You're going to be redeemed. I'm going to bring you back to myself. But when Jesus was born as a baby in a manger, redemption's plan was set into motion. The shoe was taken off and it was handed out. What a wonderful imagery we see here. But there's a little bit more. In verse 10, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, have I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. Boaz is not just going to be a benefactor. I think too often that's what we make God out to be. He's our rich uncle who purchased our redemption, and he's going to let us live in his house in heaven sometime in eternity. It's more than that. God is more than that. God wants more than that in our relationship with him. Boaz will marry Ruth. He is going to bring this Gentile into his Jewish home. This is God's grace. You and I are but hopeless Gentiles, but now we've been redeemed. We've been married into the family. We've been brought into the house. This is all by grace. But we see on Ruth's end that it is by faith. Go back to chapter 1. I promise this is the last time I'll make you go through the book of Ruth. You could say this morning that you heard someone preach the book of Ruth 3 times. Chapter 1, verse 16. Redemption by grace through faith. Notice Ruth's faith in these verses. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God." What does Ruth even know of God? How does Ruth even know of God? The only exposure she had is not from growing up in Israel. The only exposure she had is from some of God's backslidden people who left their promised inherited land to go somewhere else because they wanted something to eat. But still, through that, God had showed himself true to Ruth enough to say, "Your God, the one true God, he will be my God." Verse 17, "Where thou diest, will I die, there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Chapter 2, verse 2, the beginning of the verse. By faith, she says, "Let me go now to the field and glean." Verse number 3, "And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers." Now, to go and glean was a thing of faith, even if you were a Jew. But to go and glean as a Moabite, you were not supposed to be there. Right? You understand this? And you especially weren't supposed to be out there picking up something that was theirs. Though they were going to leave it and let it go to waste because they had taken all that they wanted, and you were just picking up the leftovers that were going to go to waste anyways, you weren't supposed to be out there unless you had permission, and you certainly weren't supposed to be out there if you were from Moab. By faith she goes. Verse 15 again. By faith she goes. "And when she was risen up to glean," verse number 17, "so she gleaned in the field until the evening." Ruth's service of gleaning is a momentous. It is to us as her faith. Get the word to come out there. Chapter 3, verse 5. She does what Naomi tells her to do by faith. Naomi tells her what to do that night. "Go down to Boaz and ask this thing of him." Look at verse 5. "And she said unto her, all that thou sayest unto me will I do. And she went down to the floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her." Verse 9. She asked for redemption. "And he said, who art thou? She answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art an ill kinsman." You say, how did I get saved? How can I get saved? By God's grace, through faith. Here we see on Ruth's end a perfect picture of being redeemed. God's grace has been shown to you, and then you're redeemed by faith simply by asking, will you be my kinsman redeemer? Will you redeem me? Wonderful imagery there. Will you spread your skirt over me? Like a mama bird, will you put your wings out over me and protect me from the storm? That's how we're redeemed. Redemption. Ruth was from Moab. The Moabites were excluded from the nation of Israel. In fact, anyone outside of the house of Israel that wanted to come into the house of Israel, in the book of Deuteronomy, we learn they were not fully accepted until 10 generations of their family had passed inside of being a part of Israel. But here we find Ruth, God's grace shown in her life, even in Moab. By faith, she asked for redemption, and she's immediately married into the family, brought into the house, and given a son by God who becomes the grandfather of King David. This is God's grace. It's God's grace that she was accepted. It was God's grace that she was redeemed through Boaz, this kinsman redeemer, our type of Christ. It's by grace that the price was paid. It was by grace that she became the bride. It's by grace through faith. In her redemption, that her family line begins and produces Israel's King David, who later produces Jesus Christ himself, the Messiah. We learn from this that there's nobody so outside the reach of God's grace that they cannot be redeemed. Ever met somebody who felt like they couldn't be saved? Ruth would tell them otherwise. Ruth would say, I know nothing about God. I was living in Moab one day, and this new family moved to town, and I thought one of their sons was cute. And we got married, and boy, my life's never been the same ever since. This is the book of Ruth. It's a story that begins with a funeral, but it ends with a wedding. It's a story that begins with the death of a son, but it ends with the birth of another. It's a story given during a time of mankind's greatest unholiness that shows just how mankind can be redeemed by God's grace and made holy. But isn't that the story of the entire Bible? I mean, in Genesis, what do we find? It's a funeral. Adam sins, and death passes upon all men. But what do we find in Revelation at the end? There's a wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We are the bride, and Christ is the groom. In Genesis, Adam, the son, must die. In Revelation, Christ, the son, is shown eternal. He'll never die. And we in him have eternal life as well. This is a wonderful story. Would you take a moment this morning, stand and respond to the text with me? Christians, we respond this morning by thanking God for his goodness seen in redemption. What a wonderful picture of redemption by God's grace through faith. Those of you who are here today who are not Christians, why not respond in faith? God's grace has come to you today. You've learned of his redemption. Why don't you, like Ruth, through faith, ask him to redeem you? Let's pray as Ms. Wiggins plays for us.